There's a difference between true and truth. True is our experience. True is what we experience. True is an unpacking of current reality. True is commentary on the present condition. True isn't necessarily wrong, but it doesn't always equal right. True isn't inevitably bad, nor does it always align with ideal. True is simply where we are as people living in this particular country at this particular time. So what is true? Here's my short list. Polarization is true. Name-calling and finger-pointing is true. Self-indulgence is true. Xenophobia is true. An affluence-based false sense of security and entitlement is true. Disparity is true. Knee-jerk reactivity is true. And for me, this milieu of madness is true. And then there is truth. Truth is God's vision. Truth is what God longs for us to experience on earth and what God promises we will experience in heaven. Truth is what God reveals and what God yearns for us to embody. Truth beckons us to stretch just beyond our reach and bids us to create a point of contact between God's purpose and our puzzlement. So what is truth? Here is my best attempt to articulate truth, to apply imperfect human language to my limited understanding of God's perfect and limitless vision. Truth is what we in the Christian tradition herald and anticipate when we light the candles on the Advent wreath. Truth is grounded, centered in life, in light, in God being and becoming incarnate. And truth is bolstered and surrounded by the substance and foundation of our hope in God, the promise and practice of God's peace, the joy and delight that God chooses to be with us, and the experience and expansion of God's love for all creation. Said more succinctly, truth is what we in the Christian tradition herald and anticipate when we light the candles of hope, peace, joy, love, and light. So when we draw near to truth, we draw near to proclamation of these candles. And even more than hearing and connecting with their proclamation, we commit ourselves to the embodiment of their mandates for us as people of faith. Let me give you that one again. We commit ourselves to the embodiment of their mandates for us as a people of faith. Last week, we lit the candle of hope, the candle that reminds us of the substance and foundation of our hope in God. God's promises are being fulfilled. God's righteous branch is growing, the upright, honorable, respectable branch, the branch that bends toward justice, the branch that swells to deliverance, the branch that invites us, calls us, requires us to serve as arborists in God's kingdom, arborists of hope, who hasten the day of justice and righteousness, who hasten the day of deliverance and safety, who hasten the fulfillment of God's promises. Today we lit the candle of peace, the candle that reminds us of the promise and practice of God's peace. God's peace. I want to be clear, God's peace is not about sameness. God's peace is not about agreement. God's peace is not about everyone believing what I believe, or thinking how I think, or doing whatever I instruct them to do. While those things might result in a peaceful feeling, those things do not represent nor establish God's peace. God's peace is about mutuality and difference, about diversity, respect, and a range of ideas. Look at Jesus. It starts at the beginning. Jesus' welcome party, those who arrived to celebrate his birth, included earthly shepherds and educated magi, those who worked the fields and those who filled the towers of learning. It continues in Jesus' close community, the people Jesus invited to follow him, the people who underwrote Jesus' ministry included fishermen and tax collectors, zealots and brothers whose anger raged like thunder, working men and wealthy women, and it extends into Jesus' ministry. Jesus pursued outcasts as well as religious elite. Jesus sought out foreigners, travelers, local officials. Jesus crossed boundaries of gender, race, ethnicity, religious practice. Diversity and difference in tension with shared experience and mutual support. All of this taught and modeled by Jesus. God's peace is also about level playing fields and equal access to tables of influence. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, far beyond the walls that protected people in power. John was in the wilderness, where the nomadic foraged for food, where the vulnerable clung to life, where the misunderstood were left to themselves. John was out there, calling the people, let's do something to show God we are ready. Let's get ready for the way of God. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth, and all humanity will see God's salvation. The hidden hollers will be raised and revealed. The mountains of majesty will be pulled down and exposed. Friends, this is not just about tectonic plates and geographic alteration. This is also systemic change in the halls of power and the institutions of influence. John is saying, peace is having a place at the table. A place to be seen, a place to be heard, a place where all experiences are valued, a place where all needs are met. This is the promise and practice of God's peace. John the Baptist is calling us, do something to show God you are ready. Go to the hidden hollers. Go to the places of power. Remove barriers. Tear down walls. Build a bigger table. Extend grace. Practice peace. So let's make it real. Take time to notice, really notice, the people around you. Know yourself and pursue connection with someone totally different. Be curious. Ask questions. Listen. Embrace uneasiness. Step toward discomfort. Welcome silence. And insist on access for all people. For this is the promise and the practice of God's peace. All people are worthy. All people are deserving. All people belong to God. This is truth. I pray it will become true.